you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Dr. Jim Bell. Jim, as you look at the cosmos and you've seen all these incredible pictures, how did it all start? Do you ever kick yourself trying to figure that one out?
All the time, man. All the time. It's, you know, we have lots of information, and we can use radioactive age dating in the laboratory to learn how old our solar system is, 4.5 billion years. We can use the expansion of the universe observed by the Hubble Space Telescope and other facilities to learn how old our observable universe is, 13.6 billion years ago or so. It all emerged from the so-called Big Bang. But where did it come from? Why are we here? Boy, these aren't really scientific questions. These are philosophical,
absolutely,
even religious questions. And we all struggle with them, all of us.
I'm fascinated by the big question of what was right before that 13.8 billion years. What was there?
Yeah, great question. I'm not a cosmologist, so I'm not the guy to even attempt that.
I can't even get a cosmologist to tell me the answer.
Yeah, well, part of the problem is when you create space and time, it's hard to ask what was before, because you've created time as we know it, right?
So that's right.
It's boy, it makes my head spin.
It is. It's one of a kind. My mom always used to tell me that it always was, always will be. I'm beginning to wonder she might be right.
That's a very wise answer. Absolutely.
What do you think of the new Artemis launch that we had last week?
Very exciting. Very exciting to see NASA succeed finally with its big rocket on the first try. Of course, you know, a long way to go for getting people on it and getting back to the moon and all that. But this is, you know, this is all of us pooling our resources as Americans. A very tiny fraction of our tax dollar going towards exploration and science and national prestige and global leadership in human exploration. So obviously, it was a lot of nail biting. It's a lot riding on that rocket, and it'll be even more riding on that rocket once people fly on the next several flights. But I'm awfully proud of NASA and everybody, all the contractors, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that helped make that happen, and that are trying to, you know, move exploration and science forward for our nation and for the world.
We got to the moon with 50-plus year technology. You would think it would be easier to get to now, but it really isn't, is it?
Well, there's nothing easy about rockets. There's nothing easy about going out into space. It's a harsh environment. You know, there's just nothing easy about it. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it all the time, right? And so, you know, it takes the best minds in the world to figure out how to do this. It takes pooling our resources as a nation. It takes the support of our elected representatives and leaders to do this, and it takes all of us, cheering for each other and for our country to do these kind of things. So, it's a hard thing to do, and it's so impressive and so exhilarating when it works.
We were friends with the late Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, who told us some incredible things. A staunch believer in extraterrestrial life. Where do you stand there, Jim?
Well, I look at it in two ways, right? There's life of any kind, right? And, you know, we know that the conditions on our own planet led to the emergence of life. We think there are half a dozen other places in our solar system alone where those conditions may also have led to life in the past, or perhaps even life today in underground, in aquifers, or deep under the ice, various places. So that's partly why we're looking for it. But likely, the life in our own solar system is probably very much, if it's out there, is probably very much like what early life was like on the Earth. Simple, single-celled, maybe multicellular colonies, but relatively simple. And in that respect, I'm a big optimist that there's probably simple life all over the galaxy, all over the universe, because the conditions are duplicated in so many other places, tens of millions of Earth-like planets in our galaxy alone. So that's simple life, like life started on the Earth. Separate question about intelligent life, right?
And mm-hmm. Yes.
Obviously, on our planet, a lot of time that simple life evolved into the complex life forms that we represent. A very small fraction of life on our planet, but able to build radio telescopes and communicate and travel to the planets and the stars eventually. And you know, is that common in the galaxy and the universe? I worry, George, that the distances are so vast, and you know, damn Einstein's speed of light makes mm-hmm. it so hard to communicate over vast distances that there may be other intelligent civilizations out there, or there may have been long time ago, but we're just so far away that we can't communicate. But you know, it's speculation at this point. It'd be great to have, you know, some evidence of radio signals from another civilization, or some evidence of the atmosphere of an extrasolar planet showing the kinds of molecules that can only be created by an intelligent civilization, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, we're fortunate in that we're looking for those things. And it'll be one of the most grand and amazing discoveries in the history of discoveries if we actually find that evidence and can prove it.
I think so, too. What do you think of the picture of the face on Mars in Cydona?
I think it was a really interesting picture from the 1970s that got a lot of people excited, a lot of geologists excited about the geologic structures there, and a lot of folks in the public excited about, you know, seeing what looked like a face.
Yeah.
And subsequent images at higher resolution with better cameras and better technology have shown it's not, but it's still a super interesting geologic structure. And Mars has got all kinds of, we talked about this earlier, all kinds of weird shapes and structures formed from the ancient geology of that planet.
It is truly remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long has Dr. Hubble been doing its thing now?
It's 32 years now.
Amazing.
My previous book a couple of years ago called Hubble Legacy was a celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope. What a spectacular thing that we've done, having that up there for so long. Rewriting the astronomy books and the science textbooks for our kids and teachers, making amazing discoveries. And still going. And now, you know, overlapping with an even bigger, more powerful telescope, the James Webb.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
That's going to do incredible things. What, do you think it might see the first light of the universe?
You know, I think it's designed to search for the first stars and the first galaxies. I don't know if it'll be able to see that far back. It's that's pushing the limits, but that's where the technology is taking us, back to those very, very early days. They've already discovered or shown evidence of possibly the earliest galaxies that formed maybe in the very, very early universe. I think what you started out with is right. It's going to make some incredible discoveries. It's early days. Figure out how to use that telescope and its instruments out there in space since its launch last Christmas. But just like Hubble started out slow out of the gates and has revolutionized astronomy in 30 years, so is Webb. Webb is destined to do the same thing.
Are the first stars that started the universe even around anymore?
It's a great question. There are some kinds of stars that are very, very low mass that have lifetimes that could be as long as the age of the universe. I'm not a stellar astronomer, so I can't give you the names of any that have been shown to be that old. But theoretically, there could be some. They'd be very dim. They'd be very hard to see. Whereas the brightest stars, the giants, the blue giants and the bright whitish stars, those live fast and die young. And those are the ones that are easy to see, but they don't last very long. So it's a great question, and I personally wish I knew more about the answer.
Are there other countries, Jim, that are coming along real well in their space programs too?
You know what? There's something like, I want to say, more than 75 space agencies around the world now, George.
I
think
Wow.
It's not just NASA and the Europeans and the Russians and the Chinese and the Japanese. It's all kinds of the Polish space agency, the Rwandan space agency, the Paraguay space agency. You know, countries that want to be part of the future, that want to be, develop their science and technology and engineering and math and the quality of their students and employees and the technical know-how of their industries. Those countries who want to be part of the future realize that space is part of the future. And so they're forming space agencies to help, gel their industries and inspire their citizens to do great things in space and like we have.
When you look at these incredible pictures in your book, The Art of the Cosmos, you stop and wonder, why do we have wars? Why do we have battles when there's so much wonderment out there that as a world, we could just enjoy it?
Yeah, one of my heroes who I never got to meet, a guy named Gene Roddenberry, came up with the whole Star Trek series and that whole, universe of where we had solved all these problems on the Earth. We'd solved hunger and homelessness and, we weren't even using money anymore in Roddenberry's Star Trek universe. And we'd learned how to work together and racism was a thing of the past. Boy, it'd be great to head there. We're not there, right, as a species.
Long ways to go still.
We got a long ways to go, but boy, it's a great thing to strive for.
Phone lines are open. We're going to take calls next hour with Dr. Jim Bell as we talk about the art of the cosmos, incredible things. Jump on board, ask him a science question or a picture about photography as well. The moon was another one of those great telescope views as a kid, because you could barely see the craters with the naked eye. But when you put your telescope on a full moon, it's magnificent.
Oh, man, and you can see those mountains and valleys.
And you could reach out and touch it.
Absolutely. Boy, it was. It sounds like we both had the same experience as kids with the telescope, George.
Yeah, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the great state of Rhode Island, out in the what was the western sticks of the state. It was pretty dark skies. Cold winter nights out in the front yard with some of my buddies from high school.
I did the same thing in Detroit.
Yeah.
And those were cold nights, too, but they were worth it.
Best time, best viewing when it was cold, right?
Yep, absolutely. I had a 3-inch refractor, and you'd look at it through the little tiny telescope to center it up, and then you'd look through the top of the lens right through it, and it was something else. Fun times. And then I put it on street lights and everything else.
You know, it's a great, it's with the holidays coming out, what a great gift for a kid.
Oh my God, with the book.
A little bit interested in science or space or astronomy or just curious. I mean, telescope, there's lots of great telescopes that don't cost too much these days for really good quality.
I'd give the kid the book first, and then right after he's done looking at it going, what else do I get?
Give him
the telescope.
Got it.
That's fantastic. Anyways, we're going to take calls pretty soon here. Of all the things you have done in your career of space photography, what for you has been that moment of awe?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there was a time for a few years around 2004 to 2006, 2007 or so, a little longer than that, actually, when NASA and the team that I led, we were operating two rovers on the surface of Mars, Spirit and Opportunity, at the same time, each of them outfitted with spectacular cameras and other scientific instruments on opposite sides of the planet. And so the sun would rise on one rover and it would go do its thing, and the sun would set and it would send us back its images. And while the sun set on that one, the sun rises on the other one and it would go do its thing, get the images back. And none of us were ever sleeping for years. And we were just living in this this Martian candy store, getting these amazing pictures and other measurements and driving across the landscape and learning about ancient water on Mars and how it used to be habitable for life as we know it. And it was a heady, amazing time. And we took tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pictures with those rovers and shared them with the public.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.